Yeah. Okay, well, good evening, everybody. Thank you for coming out on not such a cold night. Hang on, double glazing, sorry. So, anybody got any questions that aren't on the agenda?
Could I raise something?
Yes, you can, Joe. Vilma had a moment before you. Do you mind if I just take Vilma first? But I'll take you, Joe, straight away after. Yes, Vilma.
Sorry, Joe. I just beat you to the touchline.
The hand up.
I know you've got it on number 14 on the agenda for this evening about tree works in Pier Road. Yeah. But what I would like to ask the parish council is whether they will consider a wider tree survey, a wider tree activity. There seems to be an awful lot of chopping down of trees around the parish for one reason or another. And I would just like the parish council to consider a tree felling policy as to how we could get people to check on trees, to check if beautiful trees have got TPOs on them. I know, Becky, you sent a list out recently of TPOs on trees in the parish. I think it's a little out of date. There's not some of the newer ones on there. And it was just something, if we could expand the Pier Road tree works a little when we get to the agenda item.
Okay. Yeah, thank you, Vilma. Joe?
I meant to email Brian about this, and so sorry to raise a parish council meeting, but it's the Seagrove Lose. When I went for a walk with my friend Rachel last Saturday, both doors in the Seagrove Lose have swollen because of the damp, so you can't actually properly shut them. And I nearly got stuck in the disabled boots.
And that was only last week, was it, Joe?
Yeah, I checked it again today. They're swollen. It's because they're wooden. They're soft wood, you know. They're swollen.
Oh, no, we had them shaved just before Christmas. So it's
okay, well, they're
damp, yeah.
They're both swollen. And last Saturday, and I didn't check it today because I forgot to, basically. Last Saturday, in the public one, not in the disabled one, in the public one, the hand cleaner sanitizer thing wasn't working at all. So could you just get that checked out, Brian?
Are you talking about the sanitizer on the back of the door?
No, I'm talking about the machine.
Oh, the Wargate unit.
About put your hands in, stuff comes out, wash your hands, water.
Oh, no. The reason that was all the power had tripped out. I went and fixed that.
Okay.
So unfortunately, all the electrics were dead, but I went and fixed that.
So I didn't check that today, but the doors
still... No, they're definitely working again.
And you either can't shut it, or if you do put it shut, it's really quite difficult to get out.
No worries. That's a constant problem with there. Don't worry. We'll get them shaved again. There'll be nothing left of them in the end, but they'll still swell up and still fill the whole thing up.
Metal doors, mate. Metal doors.
Yeah, I know. Well, goodness me, in hindsight, a whole different toilet block would have been marvellous, wouldn't it?
Hindsight is a wonderful thing. Thank you very much. That's it, Barry.
Thank you, Joe. Phil?
Yeah, this does relate to agenda item 12, but there's nothing specifically relating to Eddington Road. And I strongly suspect that what this is all about is Eddington Road. And remember,
it says it's about Eddington.
Oh, it does,
yeah.
It, sorry.
Yeah.
If we remember what happened to us the last time that lady came along from the Isle of Wight Council, I think she was asking for 80-odd houses. I think that's probably been pushed up to about 100 by now. I think that the Eddington Road thing needs a thorough examination. Otherwise, we're going to be caught short.
Yeah, no, I agree. Okay, anybody else got anything they'd like to add before we make a formal start? Okay, thank you, everyone. Apologies for absence, we've got busy.
Yeah.
And anybody got any declarations of members' personal or prejudicial interests? No? Great. Okay, the next item is to approve the minutes of the meeting on the 18th of January. Anybody got any issues with it? Mike?
Yeah, fine, yeah.
Oh, sorry, you're okay. Okay,
yeah.
Can I have a proposer then, please?
That's all made
of a minute. Oh, sorry, Mike proposed, thank you.
Okay, Mike proposed, and Dave, you were second, yeah?
Second.
All those in favour?
Approved.
Aye.
Thank you.
I'm abstaining. I wasn't. I'm abstaining. No, it's fine. Yeah, no problem. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Well, that's that then, Brian.
Thank you.
And it's your report.
Thank you. Two weekends ago, Clean White Clean reported electrics had tripped out of Seagrove Bay toilets, as we now know from Joe. The electrics were reset. The cleaners have been issued with a key to the circuit box now, in case it happens in the future while they're there. The cleaners have observed that a large amount of condensation is forming throughout the toilet block this winter, and opening windows is not clearing it. So we'll keep this under observation, because it is leading to things like the swollen doors, and it might have this year. It didn't do it last year. It might have tripped the electrics as well, is what we're thinking. And maybe we'll have to think about something like an extractor fan, but I'm not an expert on these things. But we got away with it last year, but who knows? It's been an exceptionally wet winter. Also this month, the play area in Edmund Road has suffered from this particularly heavy rainfall, and the Environment Officer recommended, and I should say this is in line with multiple play areas around the island, a temporary closure on health and safety grounds until the site has started to drain. The Environment Officer is constantly monitoring, reporting back, and I check it every couple of days as well, and now that the ice has cleared again, it's still nice and deep and boggy, so it still doesn't look particularly safe. In response to a request from a resident, the Isle of Wight Council were written to with regards to adopting the supplementary planning document produced by the Parish Council in 2017. We received a response from a senior planning officer, and a response, the crux of it was, with our limited resources, work on the island planning strategy was a priority, and we would look into the, we would look at the SPDs once the Isle of Wight Council's work on the island planning strategy had reached a stage where officer time could be freed up with it. We have not reached that point, and unfortunately we have also had to deal with a global pandemic in the meantime too. So they did respond, but it looks like they're not doing anything with SPDs at the moment. In January, a resident reported their dog had been poisoned after ingesting something whilst walking along Aprils Lane. The resident and their vet were concerned that an individual who had occasionally been sleeping in their car in that area may have been responsible for whatever was eaten by the dog. This was reported to the Environment Officer, who has reported back that multiple instances of dogs being poisoned all over the island are being investigated by the police, and that the individual in the car is known to the authorities and is being investigated in relation to this. The resident has shared their warning on social media, and it's been acknowledged widely in the meantime. With regards to agenda item around Sea View Recreation, this is the report from the Community Partnership. I wrote to the Isle of Wight Council regards to Community Partnership planting some oak trees at the recreation ground. The new tree officer, whose name is Tony Gillingham, has been in touch to say he's happy to work with the partnership on this and try and help guide however it's done and all those interesting things that need to happen. With regards to the Eddington Road Q&A session for the members with the leader of the Isle of Wight Council, I have been in touch with the leader, and the Q&A session is scheduled for March the 3rd at 5:30 p.m. Details are online. Questions will be discussed later in this meeting, but please, if people want to, they can look at the website and Reg is just trying to get admitted there. And they can submit questions that the councillors can ask if they have time in the meeting, because it will last for up to an hour. With regards to the neighbourhood plan, Councillor Adams and I have been in touch with... I'm going to just have to mute.
I think I lost everybody.
I'm going to mute Roy for a second, because I was getting a lot of feedback in my ears and I couldn't hear anything. Councillor Adams and I have been in touch with five other parish councils on the island that have accepted neighbourhood plans, and they have been offering advice for us going forward in the way in which they did it. The Isle of Wight Council Planning Department have reached out with help and are supplying several large maps of the parish for our working group, which will be, once I receive them, I'll hand them to the chairman of the working group and he can distribute those. With regards to the Seaview Dinghy Park fence, following the last meeting, I got in touch with the contractors who have shown interest in providing a quote against the revised specification. And unfortunately, by the 1st of February, only one company was left with a valid quote. The other ones are saying they were, like a lot of the other companies in the past, were unable to source the materials needed for it due to the pandemic. And so I have offered the work to Richardson's and they have accepted it. And at the moment, though, they say they think they're going to be able to start work in May. I think this, again, is down to difficulties with getting materials. The Beach Awards 2021 paperwork has been completed, and we are waiting to hear from the judging committee now for this year. Finally, with regards to Seaview Hotel toilets, I wrote to the Isle of Wight Council with regards to whether they would be providing alternative toilet facilities in the village during the lockdown, and they responded with the following statement. The Isle of Wight Council are aware of the situation regarding toilets and decided not to pursue any action at this stage given the current pandemic. The closure of the hotel and the national lockdown and the stay-at-home message plays into this. We will, of course, keep the matter under review. The Isle of Wight Council does not run toilet facilities and is not in a position to provide temporary facilities. So that's the end of my report. Thank you.
Thank you, Brian. And Brian, thank you and Dave for the work that you've done so far on the neighbourhood plan. Okay. I've been a little bit distracted lately. No, actually, Dave, it's your turn.
Hello, Neil. It's firstly, delegated decisions. We have five of these, and all been granted. And in order, they were the Summer House to close Nettlestone, the Surprise High Street Seaview, Three Shells, Oak Hill Road, the Old Fort as Renee Seaview, and Two Pond Lane. All approved and granted. Right, the applications. We only have four.
Dave, sorry to be a pain. First of all, we've just got to do is approve the minutes of the subcommittee meeting we had last week.
Oh, sorry, you didn't have that on here, Brian. And we had didn't we approve the minutes before then? For the subcommittee.
It's item two in planning.
Yeah, item two.
All right, sorry, you haven't got it on here. That's why I've missed it.
Oh, really?
Can we approve the minutes?
Sorry, I've only got it on the main agenda. I see what you're saying, Dave. That's all right.
Right. Yeah.
Sorry, I wasn't sure if we addressed it at that last one because we had that subcommittee meeting. But yeah, you're right, it's not been done. So, can we approve those minutes?
Have a proposer. Yep.
Thank you, Mike.
And a seconder.
Okay. Thanks, Dave.
Okay, and all those in favour that were there?
Thank you very much. Approved. Thank you very much. Sorry about that, Dave. Sorry for ruining your flow there.
Right, to continue. Right, number one, former Hartford Sands. It's a variation of condition three to allow alterations to the road and plot layout. Now, this one, it's quite difficult, this one, because it's a big application. It's quite a hefty tome. But I attended last week a meeting of Rye Town Council, where they discussed it, and they went into it very, very fast. And from what I can make out, basically the main bone of contention with Ryde is, I believe when this application went in, there was mention of a hotel on it and some holiday units. Well, they've all been done away with, and they want to change the road layout, and this concerns the bit nearest the beach. They want to change the road layout and the design and layout of the houses down the front there to maximise the views, and I'm assuming the profit, which is fair enough. But my concern with this is there's a loss of revenue here, and because if there's no hotel facility or nothing for any holiday makers, as was originally proposed, I'd like to suggest that we oppose this because there's a loss of revenue not only to Ryde but to ourselves as well, because I would assume that if people were staying there, they would wander along to the boathouse for a meal, maybe down to the fort for a meal and a drink. But it just seems, again, with regard to their planning, they've strayed away from the original application completely. And this bears no resemblance to what was there originally. And I just feel there's a loss of something there to the community. Anyone else, any input?
I agree with you, Dave. Trish wants to say.
I'm happy to agree with that.
Yeah.
Can I just say something that I noticed? I just had a quick look through this afternoon to see what they were. I'm reading, and you may know this may have been already agreed, but they're actually not allowing any affordable housing on the site. They're saying no affordable housing, that they will give contributions to elsewhere. I thought the whole point that we were having all these planning applications was to try and actually meet the criteria for the affordable housing, and that is a brownfield site. I would have thought it was something that ought to be included within it. Just a comment.
See, the point on that, I mean, is that there's two
promised originally, wasn't there, Mike?
There's two parts to it. You can either have social on the site, or you have to delegate to give funds and that's part of the delegating to give funds elsewhere within the parish.
Yeah,
but if everybody does that, then you end up with one huge site that...
Which becomes a ghetto, put us on.
Yeah.
Sorry. I have to say that from the beginning they said they weren't going to do social housing on that site. Yeah. They always said that they were going to make a contribution to, you know, S106 contribution.
That's right. Let's talk about 600,000.
Is that acceptable to the parish council?
Yeah. But the point is, them saying they're not going to do that means there's going to be a big dumping ground somewhere, and I think we know where that's going to be. It's going to be Eddington Road, and it's going to be a ghetto, and it's going to devastate this parish. And that's all before we have our neighbourhood plan. Well, it's not with any of it. It's all got to be discussed.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure if speculation is any good. Reg, this is a good point for you to come in. Sorry, Dave, I'm not trying to keep your spot, but we've got some history here.
No, let's hear the opinions.
Reg.
You're muted.
You're muted.
Reg, we can't hear you.
Is that better?
Yes.
Yeah, we can hear you now.
Yeah, there's quite a large 106 sum of money. I don't want to be quoted exactly, somewhere in the region of £400,000-£500,000, which was the 106 money for Harcourt Sands when it went through the planning committee. And unusually, I've never heard of it before, that money is designated to be spent within Seaview and Nettleston. So that's why there's no affordable housing on site. And the planning committee at the time thought that was a very good deal. It's not unusual for it to have a sum of money rather than actual houses on the site. What's it similar, isn't it? It's like Goodwell Field.
Yeah, I was just going to say what I read what Ryde Council said, and they're trying to claim that money for Ryde Town Council. I thought that was for us.
No, that was mentioned, but in fairness to Ryde Council, that was mentioned because they're worried about the loss from the tourism.
Okay, it's just the way it was written their objection sounded like it was they thought the money was going to them, which didn't worry me.
In the meeting, fairness, that it was mentioned that money would not go to them because it said it was in our parish. But they're voicing their concerns, obviously, because of the location of them being adjacent to our parish. So, but no, in fairness to them, they know it's not going there. I've not seen what's written, but that's clear.
If you have a look at how it's written in case you want to contact them, Dave, then maybe.
I will do. I'll check that. But if I could bring up something on that, I'll bring you back in a moment. If I could just bring up something on these 106 payments, because we had a meeting, several of us down at the Wishing Well, and the sum was banded about $600,000, which I didn't think was going to be forthcoming anyway. But whether it's four or whether it's six, I don't think that's the important issue here at the moment. I think a more important issue, these 106 payments in general, when I first became a councillor, I had a meeting at the Isle of Wight Council offices, and I'm not sure if Sally was up there or someone else was up there from our parish, but at the time I remember being up the Isle of Wight Council offices. And there was talk of 106 payments. And this was from Dave Stewart himself. And what his words were, he said, the problem with 106 payments is, and he was being honest, which I appreciated from him, he said, there's nothing left after the big ticket items. Now, when I questioned him on what the big ticket items were, he said roads, schools, health, whatever, but basically, once these money's been funded out, once the Isle of Wight Council have dipped into it and invested in the schools, invested a bit more in the roads, the health, whatever, there's nothing left or very little to put in the ground in the parish. So this is a concern where we're talking about these affordable houses, because if this 400,000 is forthcoming, it's 400,000 on its own today, doesn't actually go far anyway, but I would be more concerned that it's going to be nothing like it. Might start out at 400,000, but it might end up to us on the ground at 40 or 50,000. That is not a large sum of money today in any shape or form. And is this the reason why the Isle of Wight Council have performed so badly in delivering the affordable wages over these last few years? I don't know, but I believe it's something maybe as a parish we need to address our feelings with regards to the Isle of Wight Council one. That's it from me. Fred?
Well, I was just going to say, Ryde has always wanted to get their hands on that 106, mate. There's a lot of Ryde councillors who think Harcourt Sands is in their ward. I'm not going to mention any now. Some of that 106 money will be spent on footpaths, etc., small things like that. But and the rest should be spent on affordable housing within our ward. And that's a condition of the plan of remission, which is quite unusual. Normally it goes in a pot. And like you say, Dave, it gets frittered around all around the island to do all sorts of things with, and not necessarily what people want it to be done with. But that money, as it stands now, is definitely for this parish. We've just got to find somewhere to spend it. And I'll get on to that later.
Well, we know where to spend it, don't we? Eddington Road.
Dave, can we bring Vilma in?
Yes.
It's just very quick, but when the first initial Harcourt Sands was booted, they did indeed say they wanted a hotel there, which nobody developer would consider because they knew they wouldn't make any money if they built a hotel and opened it there. Well, that's what they assumed. And that 106, Mark Pink, the previous parish clerk, clarified very clearly, and it's in the records, that that money, the 106 money that's coming from Harcourt Sands, is for Seaview. So I just wanted to make that clear, that that money is definitely our money. And it was initially, I think, Mike Ward, if you recall, going to be going towards Vectors Housing on the Eddington Road site. There was definite that that money could be used on that site. Now, that's changed. It's not Vectors Housing. It's now the local council that want to develop that site, and you have a meeting very soon to discuss it. But that money is sloshing around, and I'm of the opinion that if we don't use it within a certain period, we might lose it. I'm not sure on that, but correct me if I'm wrong, Reg.
If I can clarify, the actual planning permission said that there would be an hotel or, I think it was 11 holiday units. They were unsuccessful in finding an hotel showing that would go there, so there's going to be the holiday units. The 106 money was never designated to any particular site. It wasn't said, oh, we'll put houses there or put houses there. It was never designated to any particular site.
No, but was it? I think the point Bill was making is, Reg, was the money designated for Nettlestone and Seaview? I think that's what's
was,
coming across
that,
loud and clear.
That is a fact. That was in the planning permission, and I was a member of the committee when that went through.
But is there a time limit on that?
No, there's not a time limit.
It's been flopping around for a long time.
There's not a time limit on it, and I think it's wrong to describe it as sloshing around.
Well, the money.
There's all sorts of things that got to happen on the site before that money kicks in. It don't just happen. The road's got to be in. This has got to be done. There's all sorts of conditions and things. The money is there, but it ain't the sort of thing you can go and knock on someone's door and hold your hand out and they'll give it to you. It ain't like that. There's a whole lot of things that goes on before that money is available to be spent in the parish of Nettleston and Seaview on affordable housing.
Dave, to go back to the original point, is you were going to put a proposal that the council decides what we'd like to do about this.
Well, just on the basis of what we've lost, it's more to me with just a point of view of how these applications just keep changing all the time. And it's I'd like to propose that we oppose it. I know full well it won't change anything, but I oppose it, and I'd like to propose that we oppose it.
Weren't you opposing it on financial grounds?
On the grounds of the financial loss, the loss of tourism that was promised.
Yeah.
And
lack of economic development.
Yeah, I think...
Thank you, Joe.
Di's anxious to come in.
Yeah, I was just going to say, didn't we do a wish list when Conrad was chairman
of things that we'd want to spend this 106 money on. So we've still got that wish list, haven't we?
Yeah.
So it's clearly that the money's coming to Nepperson and Seaview. I think that's without doubt. But I think also that if we've got that wish list as well, there were some pretty big ideas on that wish list, weren't there? So I think that we need to keep that in the forefront as well of what we're saying tonight.
Dave, you proposed that. Would somebody like to second that?
I'll second it.
Okay. Dave, are you going to call for a vote?
Four. Can we have a vote, please?
Three, four, five. Supporting that. Was that five? Oh, six. Oh, sorry, it's unanimous. Sorry. I can't count. Thanks very much. I'll put that down. Thanks, Dave.
Sorry, just give me a moment. I've got so many papers here. Right, number two. Buccaneers and Alcantara. Ferry Road. Now this one, I think we all know this road. It's a very nice property down there. It's for demolition of that building. Proposed two-storey side extension and alterations to include extension to dormer window on side elevation, alterations to neighbouring property, Alcantara, to block up window opening. Right, now I walked down there and had a look at this one, and it's, I think it's a lovely building. It's exactly the building I love, and I think they need to be preserved. I noticed down here, on the right-hand side of it, it's a semi-detached house. On the right-hand side, there is a small porch built on the side of it. On reading this application, what I have concerns about is, and it's contradicting itself a little bit, it says there's no drop curve, but there's parking there. It states in the report that there's parking there for four cars, one in the garage and three down the side of the house. And you can comfortably get three down the side of the house. And it says, this is Island Road's representation. It says the site is serviced by an existing hard standing and access onto Ferry Road. Currently, this measures 3.2 metres in width and 13 metres in length and provides parking for up to two vehicles. Beg your pardon, two vehicles on hard standing and one within the garage. So that's three vehicles. But it then goes on. In the actual application, it goes on to criticise itself. It says, in proposing a drop curb, we have improved the existing parking significantly, as this now means one vehicle can park on the site. Well, that don't make sense to me, because that is telling me we've actually got a loss of two vehicle spaces down there. So that's one of the comments. The second comment is, there's actually objections and concerns from the Isle of Wight Council themselves regarding overlooking from the window upstairs and onto the neighbour's property, because if they extend the dormer and pull that out on the roof, there's problems with overlooking and concerns with overlooking. It's I don't like on it, again from a personal point of view, just looking at the visualisation there, what they're putting on the side, nice red bricks but a flat roof. And I think, as everybody looked at these, we all looked at these pictures, but basically on the side, with this two-storey extension, the wall is going right over to the boundary wall, and the upstairs one, they've pulled back the standard metre or metre and a half, whatever it is, from the boundary to gain the second floor one, and they've put a flat roof on it. And it just looks very detrimental to me, to that building. We've got a lovely building down here, and there's this flat roof poking out the side of it, which isn't in keeping with anything down there. And it just looks, in my opinion, I think it looks terrible. And I think with the view of the loss of these parking spaces, again, I'd like to say that we should oppose this in its current terms. And if it is approved at all, I think at the very least, we should like to see maybe a pitched roof on it. But it looks like that pitched roof may, I've just seen another one here drawing this section, it looks like if they put a pitched roof on it, it's going to affect what they want to do with a dormer window upstairs. But I think that is a gain for a smaller window which would be on a new roof. I think that would be a gain, architecturally and structurally, just visually, than what they're proposing with this flat roof.
Councillor Adams, what you could propose...
Sorry, do I?
That's right, I'm just saying you could propose to support it, and then on the basis of a pitched roof, reversing the loss of parking, those sorts of things. And that way you're...
on now that with this, there must be parking provided for one vehicle.
Yeah.
I think down there, if we're honest, see, again, what at the peak times of years, when do they carry out these surveys or whatever they do regarding the parking? Because they say there's plenty of parking there, but as we all know in the summer, there isn't plenty of parking down there. And I just feel we need to try and start protecting some of these parking spaces.
Well, you could make that a condition. You could say support it, but want a pitched roof. We want two parking spaces, and you know whatever you want.
I was going to say that. I was coming to that next. Mm. If that downstairs part of it, if it does have to be lost, I'd like to at least see that retained as a garage, because they can gain what they need upstairs, and then. There's still two parking spaces downstairs. There's one in the garage and there's one on the forecourt. I think that would be a nice compromise. Okay. So that's my proposal.
So it would be to support it, but with those conditions. I just want to make it clear for the other members, just want to make it clear what happens is if you support it, we put conditions in. If those conditions aren't met, our advice becomes an objection. So the parish councils. So just because you support it, if they can't support it, doesn't mean suddenly we support the whole thing. It's interpreted then as an objection if they can't be met. So it's a way of saying we would like to support you to do it if you meet these conditions. That's the difference between objecting to something but supporting it with conditions.
I think we'd be unreasonable looking at some of the others down there and how close they are. I'd be happy to support that on the basis that that downstairs part is kept as a garage with a private space in front. And the upstairs as a pitch roof.
So downstairs, parking with garage.
Hello, come in, Roy.
Well, right. The outbuilding, what worries me is it's so close to one another, it's like they tie the outbuilding to the Alicante. I don't know why they've done that. It's linking it up. It's linking the outbuildings up to the other house, and they're two totally different houses there, and it just seems strange that they want to tie it up. You've got the outbuildings coming right up to the boundary wall.
Roy, it seems strange to me. I don't know how they oppose it. It's as I say, visually, I've been down, probably like yourself, I've been down and had a look.
Yeah, well, that's true. You've got to think about the people coming into it.
It's becoming like they're making it like a sort of almost a terrace house there, as you say.
Yeah, that's what they're tying it together.
And I don't really, you know, if I'm honest, getting back to this garage thing, look, I've been trying to compromise. What are other people's views? I feel that is not in keeping what they're proposing there. I'm just looking at these two walls now, Roy, what you pointed out. And if I live next door to that, I would be very...
You'd object to it. I think we should object to it for the objector.
I would be very, very unhappy with that. And just...
Well, I would as well.
With it being such a lovely house, I know the flat roofing isn't a valid reason for objection, but it just looks terrible with what's there on such a lovely property.
Well, you can object to it on it not being in keeping with what's already there, the visual impact of it.
Well, I'd like to propose... We object to it not being in keeping, because I don't feel it's in keeping.
So go for objection.
I'll second that.
And were you also mentioning overdevelopment as well, Councillor College? Is that what you're saying? You thought it's being overdeveloped?
Not really. I wasn't.
Okay, fair enough.
So pointing that out.
Okay.
Could we include lack of parking spaces, existing parking spaces?
Yeah.
And there's nobody going to buy three cars in a row.
They stated on their report that there's three spaces there, and I think that's a valid comment.
Definitely. We've been objecting to other things in the village on the grounds that there was not parking for them.
Yeah.
So I think that's very valid.
Yeah.
So we're objecting on that visual impact of so keeping a lot of parking. Yep.
We've got a seconder.
I'll second it.
A call for a vote?
Well, I second it, so...
Okay, so, carried. Objection. Thank you very much.
sea spray. Another row. Variation of condition 2 to allow redesign repositioning of garage stroke boat store. Now, this sea spray one, it's basically, they're doubling the size of this. I don't know, could I bring in a moment? Would anyone mind if I brought Joe King in for a second, please?
Yeah, because Joe lives on the same road. Sensible.
Are you there, Joe?
Yeah, I'm here.
Joe, could I bring you in for an opinion on this, please? Because you're more well-versed on this than any of us. And I believe, just briefly, from what I can make out, and correct me if I'm wrong, I believe there was in the first instance, there was reports about they could build it, but they was very specific with regards about the size of it. But they was approving it if it was kept to that size. Now, at this moment in time, they've reapplied, want to change it, and it's doubled the size. And I found out today that apparently the ridge height for this is 7.7 metres, 4.5 metres at the eaves, with a separation of 4 metres. This seems hell of a big building. It's like, it's almost a house on its own. And I have concerns in regards to the nature reserve what's down here. We know this coming up in the future, we've got a problem with the beach huts, they're pushing for full-time residency and occupation. And it's just something, again, I feel we need to clamp down on, because to me, it's just another small house going there. And I think it's in the wrong location. I think it's too close to the nature reserve. And regardless of what they say about all the reports, we all know we haven't got the sewage. We're losing all the drainage. It's just more and more land being concreted over there now. And I feel we need to oppose it. And I think we have very valid grounds on this one.
Could I say something?
Yes, please do.
Okay, well, we're in quite a tricky position because this is a new neighbour and it's always quite nice to get on with your new neighbours. Prior to Christmas, I dropped a note through the door saying, welcome to the Dover, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and this is who we are. And we've had absolutely no communication from them. And the first thing we knew, actually, about this application was when Dave very kindly contacted me. I've since spoken to the neighbours next door, and what we feel is the following. When Sea Spray, which was Alan and Jane's little bungalow, was rebuilt as Paul's house, which is now, you know, the big Sea Spray, the conditions that were put on it were very, very certain that there should only be the garage that was proposed there should be the size that it was. What they're proposing now, it seems to us, is they're proposing, it's a quite a small garden at the back of Sea Spray. And the new development that they're proposing is 6 metres by 6 metres. I didn't know the height of it until Dave just said it, but 6 metres by 6 metres is a very, very large building. The original garage was for one car, and it had a door, and it had a window, and this one has no doors, no windows, it's just a very, very large space. It seems to take over an enormous proportion of what is a very small garden. And we feel we don't want to, you know, fall out with our new neighbours, but we feel that the proposal is completely out of proportion and out of scale with the size of the house that is there, which was why the condition was put on it in the first place. We also have a little bit of a concern in that the driveway that was put on is not a permeable, it's an impermeable driveway. So I think you've got flooding issues there as well. But basically what we feel is that this is out of proportion and out of scale, and as such conflicts with what was DM2 and DM12 of the original island course strategy, and should be opposed purely on that. They're changing a condition because it is in conflict with that original condition. And I think we would be very grateful if the parish council would just say it is out of scale and out of proportion.
I agree with that, Jack. I'll second you on that, Jack.
Well, I think we'd be quite happy to do that even without your input, Joe, because I can't see that you can say anything else. You know, it is a house of... Yeah.
Okay, right. So is someone going to propose to object on this scale, saying it's out of scale and out of proportion,
yeah,
which contradicts DM2 and DM12 from the Island Core strategy, which is always nice to have in one of our...
And if I may say, if you look at the original planning condition, what the officer's justification was for clarity, the conditions were opposed to maintain proportion and scale. That was why they put the... why they put the conditions there.
Great.
I see no reason for them to change those conditions.
Yeah.
Going to propose that.
And Jackie, Joe, next door, I've gone to look right onto that garage. They have a small balcony.
I know that Matt and Harriet are very worried about it. I haven't been able to contact Gordon, who's in Tides Reach. But without doubt, it's a very large building at the back of what is also already the largest building on the Dubber.
Yeah, they've taken over too much of it, and now they want to try and get more for the concrete. And it was there, we know that.
And just on a practical basis, I mean, this is not a planning condition that, you know, it's not a planning whatever you call it, you know. Nobody keeps their car in the garage anymore, do they?
No.
I mean, nobody parks the car in their garage. So to make a double garage, and you know, double garage and boat store, you know, well,
somebody propose the objection? Because I'm happy to if nobody else has.
Okay. Councillor Hardy proposing that?
I'll second it.
Roy second. You're going to have
thanks,
a vote?
I'll let the neighbours know.
Thank you. In favour?
All right. We're all in.
Yeah, that's everyone.
Thank you.
Okay. I think you've got one more item, Dave, haven't you?
One more. Last one. This is number 6, Sand Cove Rise Seaview. Now, this is at the back of Kevin Berry's and on the corner of the Dinghy Park. Now, this one, you'll be surprised to hear. I've proposed this one. I approved this. I think this looks... just by what's down there and what's there, it's for proposed rear extensions and alterations to include a balcony. Just looking at the plans, what I've read on it, it's there's no comments against it. It looks very in keeping with what's going on there, and I just feel it's a general improvement, and I don't see how anyone...
Well, it is matching up with the other properties that are there.
I think it is.
Yeah, they've already had it done, haven't they?
I don't want to sound a hypocrite, but I do notice on it again, there's a little bit of a flat roof coming on, but the difference between this one and the earlier one, the Buccaneers, the pitch on the roof of the house itself, the main house, is a very, very shallow pitch anyway, so we're not comparing like for like. But overall, I just think it's an improvement, and I believe we should support this one. So okay.
Can I make one suggestion there on that, Dave?
Go on.
Instead of calling it number 6, you should call it what it is. It's now got a house name, Toad House or Toad Hole. So people looking for number 6 aren't going to find a number 6.
Well, Sand Cove Rise. This is number 6 Sand Cove Rise.
And it isn't a number 6.
It's on as the application.
Yeah, but they should use it like, you know, they're changing the numbers to a name.
To the names, gotcha.
Yeah.
And Dave, Rachel wants to come in.
Yeah, come in, Rich.
Could I just say, when you put your support in a wire, please don't mention Kevin Berry, because that's got nothing to do with it. And apparently you know Kevin Berry. If it had been refusal and I was the applicant, I would be very miffed at that.
I wasn't mentioning Kevin Berry in that respect, Rich. I was just doing it for a location. The rear is the ass and on the top of the dinghy park. That was all.
Just toad hole, that's it.
Okay, so I'm going to propose that, are they?
So, we've got a proposer.
Dave's proposing to support, and Roy's seconding.
Yes.
Can we take a vote?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
It looks unanimous. Okay.
Thank you, yeah.
And that's it, planning's finished.
Any appeals, Dave?
No appeals.
No.
Thank you, dokie. Right, Reg, you're on. You're gone.
No, he's got a window still there.
He's back.
Yeah,
you're on after reports, Reg.
Well, as my report, I'm going to sort of stick to Eddington Road. I think that's something that we're all concerned about.
But Brian's got to do his yet.
No, I've done my report. It is ready now.
Oh, sorry, yeah.
I've got
time sorted out. You would have read the report, which I've had several meetings about this. It's been going on a long time. And it seems now, after you've all got the report, that's the thing. The reason I sent it round was I didn't want to have to read it out to you and take too long. So you will have had, received it off Brian. You've all had a chance to read and digest it. And I think you'll all agree with me what a disappointment this is. The Isle of Wight Council have gone for the money rather than what the people and the parish council of Nettleton and Seaview wanted. They're now talking about 90 affordable houses and 10 nursing units. Now that nursing units, I'm not quite sure. That would probably be some small unit with single elderly people living in as well on the site. So the bids were based on the amount of space and amount of units you can get in there, and that came to 90. Now, as a community, I don't think anybody, whilst we're not against a small scheme up there of affordable housing, we don't want really 90. I think that's going too far with it. It's almost equivalent for the size of the village to Pan at Newport. It's beyond all comprehension. And what annoys me as well, what upsets me in a way, they seem to be justified on the back of saying, well, if we do this scheme, there won't be any more holiday homes up there. Well, there won't be any second homes or people buying houses to rent. Now, I don't think the Isle of Wight Council's got a policy of being anti-holiday home owners. They certainly weren't worried about holiday homes in Gibwell Field. And they're certainly not worried about holiday homes in the 50 houses that are coming or could come at Putpool Hill. I don't know how the rest of the council feels, but I feel that we've had the rug pulled out from us. We went along with the housing needs survey. We had all the meetings from Vectus. We really thought we were going to have a scheme with private housing, 35% affordable, or mixed affordable. When they say affordable, a lot of them are shared rent, shared buy, and all the rest, as this 90 will be. And I dare say the 90 will come down. Although why somebody would put a price in for 90 houses and then end up with 60 and give the same money over, I can't see that. But none of this money will be spent in Seaview. Why should we bear the brunt of that scale of affordable housing in a little village like Nettleston? It doesn't make sense, and it don't bear thinking about it. This is the sort of thing our MP is against. They're taking over a greenfield site to fill it up with affordable housing. What I would suggest, and you've always got to have a suggestion if you object to something, the parish council applies for this site to be an asset of community value. That will give you 6 months to talk to Vectors and come back with a scheme that's amenable to everybody who've agreed with it so far. I was amazed at the people up around there who would go along with a site the size of what Vectors was asking. But you were also getting so many benefits with the Vectors one. You had your industrial units, parish office, car park, and all them things. you'll get none of that. You'll just end up with somewhere like 90 affordable areas. They say, well, that'll all come down in the planning process. What's to stop Southern Housing going to appeal? The bloke in Bristol might agree with them and say 90 houses fits in there nicely. I think the parish council should get together and apply for that to be an asset of community value, and that would give you 6 months to talk to some of those who weren't successful in the application, but wanted an element of residential and affordable. I'll leave it up to you to discuss it now. I know it's not an agenda item, it's supposed to be my report, but if you feel like it, talking about it now, I think you should.
Barry, I'll tell you what you can do to keep the meeting legal. If you are interested in doing it, you can have an extraordinary meeting in a week's time in which you can discuss it and actually vote on it and everything.
No, we want now.
Yeah, and I want to keep the job. Thanks very much, Dave.
No. You wait, mate. The time for action is now. We want to move on this. This is such a big thing to the village. It will destroy the heart.
Dave, you're really breaking up, mate. What we've got to do, I don't want to
say... what did Bob say?
In the case, I think you've got very valid points, Dave. But I think what we need to do to keep it legal, I think we've got to follow Brian's guidelines. And I'd like to propose here and now, we plan a meeting for next week.
Well, if that falls off, we can schedule one.
Because it needs to be discussed.
Could I ask something? Has the general public seen this report that Reg has put around?
No, they haven't. No, it's not confidential. I asked for the report. I had a meeting with the officers involved. And what I asked for was a report so that I could share this with the parish council. Now, I didn't want to come along to the parish council and say something or get the wrong idea and get overreached and say the wrong thing. I asked them to do a report for me, but unfortunately, for reasons best known to them, they haven't actually put the housing figures in. But I saw Vale Williams' report, and in the report it says 90 houses. That don't mean to say there will be 90 houses, because the planning, it got to go through the whole process, and that 90 might be cut down. You might only end up with 70. But in the other bets, in the other bids, it's 35-65, which is Vectus Housing and all the others. But it's based on for the one with the most affordable houses.
Sorry to disturb. Before you come in, Mike, could I just ask, Reg, is this the prefabricated buildings that lady talked about when she came to see us at the parish council?
I think, to be honest, you can forget what that lady said when she came along with parish council. She was going off, from what I gather, she was going off on a different facet. There has been various schemes. The councillors, the cabinet all went away and looked at all these lovely prefabricated houses. But this is the Southern Housing. Now, whether Southern Housing uses prefabricated or not, I don't know what's happening. Southern Housing, if you go around and look at their other sites on the island, I'm not aware that they do prefabricated. They might do. But then once they buy the land and get the deal done and the planning permission, they'll do whichever way they want.
Can the general public see the report that was made for the parish council?
Yes, I don't have no problem with that. There's no financial side to it. That's confidential and problem. I'm not going to discuss that side of it. But the actual fact, what they want to do and why they want to do it, I think that should be made public.
Mike, please.
Over the weekend, I have been in correspondence with various Isle of Wight councillors and the actual leader. I did receive and showing the highlighting the concerns when I knew what Reggie's is bringing out. I did communicate with the leader, and I got a reply this morning of an email, and it says, "Can I firstly thank you personally for raising the community concerns about the future of Eddington Road for housing development. As you recall, the officers initially recommended some 90 houses for the site, which the current Conservative administration was unacceptable. I recall meeting with you and your members of Nettleston CBU Parish Council to discuss concerns, and a more realistic figure of around 50 properties plus light industrial units was discussed.
That's clear.
I also understand the proposals also seek to ensure any homes built are affordable houses. This matter has now been taken forward by our Housing Development Board, and my understanding is that two bidders are being considered at the time, so I will not get involved myself in the process to maintain impartiality and integrity in the process. However, I can say that your personal engagement and challenging have ensured that this matter is being given full consideration, and that the offer recommendations take account of points you have raised on behalf of Nettleston CBU community. It's my understanding that no final decision has been made at this time, and the ward council has been kept informed." That's from David Stewart, leader. Well, I think we've got the meeting coming up next on the 3rd, and I've got, as you've seen later on in the next agenda, but it's a case of continuing fighting our corners, the parish.
It's a shame that the leader doesn't know what his other friends are doing. The committee was, what's he said, Stuart Atchison,
Barry Abraham.
Wayne Whittle.
They decided
done it.
To go with Southern Asian. That's done. Nobody's got, it's all written in the report.
Can I interject, please?
No, don't, David. This is, if it's true, then Dave Stewart got to tell them to reverse it in some way. That won't happen. It don't work like that.
Right, hang on, guys. Listen, let's have a proposal, if we haven't already, to have an EGM
next week. All right, Barry, you can call it.
Okay, I'll call it for next week.
Because you want to call it, and we have the one agenda item, it's to discuss Eddington Road.
We won't discuss this tonight, but it's just going to go rain. And
Yeah.
Thank you for that. So we're going to have a meeting. Trish, final word.
I was just going to say, I thought the suggestion of having it next week was a good one, because there's actually very few members of the public listening in on this, and this is something which affects the whole village. I can see Catherine's there, and it affects her very much so.
Absolutely.
And I think the word ought to be got out that this is actually something that the council's going to discuss next week. So, I, you know, can somehow some publicity be made that this is actually happening?
And it's essential that the public speak. And I've noticed you try to cut people out at these extraordinary meetings. The public actually are pretty knowledgeable about an awful lot of stuff and have far more information, I'm sorry, than even the council does. So I think you ought to allow the public in on this one.
I'll decide on that nearer the time, Philip, actually.
Right,
can we move on to the next item? Thank you, everyone.
Nelson and Seaview Community Partnership.
Partnership, right.
Yes. Okay, so firstly, Partnership, thank you, Brian, for acting on contacting the tree man about trees on the football pitch. We're very grateful. I think Lynn is going to follow up on that. So thank you for that. And the tree planting is still slightly waiting for better weather and less COVID, but hasn't quite finished, but has done amazingly. And we've had very good press. I hope everybody's seen the very good press we've had in all over the place for that.
Sorry to interject, but I've had an email from Countryfile. They want further information.
Fantastic. So even better press, Countryfile. Wow. Thank you, Joe. So that's one thing. The partnership's AGM is this Wednesday at 4:30. We had a Zoom meeting a couple of weeks ago to decide what to some things which needed to go for the AGM. Anybody's welcome at the AGM at 4:30 this Wednesday. It will be on Zoom. If you want to come and join, just ask me and I'll send you the link. Okay. The there is nothing to report about events, obviously, because we're still not in a position to run any events, but they haven't necessarily all been cancelled either. Obviously, it's see how things go. There's some very good news about the men in sheds. They have managed to get two grants, which means that when they're able to in May, they will start building their sheds. Okay, that's basically it, I think.
Thank you, Becky. Seagrove Pavilion Trust. Kevin?
Nothing to add from what I said last time.
Well, we'll just talk about the upgrade to the driveway, wasn't it? That was all.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Nettleston's Resident Association. Who's there?
There may very well be over the Addington Road thing, but not yet.
IWELC.
Right, IWELC. We've all read the bulletins. A couple of in particular interest.
Dave, sorry, do you mind, Dave? Very sorry, Dave wanted to come in and I missed him.
Sorry, can I just check the, because this is a new microphone, I keep having problems with my microphone. Do you mind if I just check that this is working okay?
It's very broken, Dave. I think what you might have is an issue between your computer and feedback to that device.
Okay,
it's
right.
It's very loud.
Hold on. If I turn it down, is that better? Is that better?
No. I'm muting you. I'm really sorry, Dave. I've had to mute you because it's making my ears hurt.
Yeah, it's really loud.
Yeah, it is.
Maybe if you sit further away from the screen, Dave. Yeah. Anyway, Dave. Big Dave. Right. Sorry.
IWELC. Yeah. We've all had the bulletins. A couple of points that might be worth mentioning. I've just had an email come in today regarding funding. It's going to help, but it concerns us. There's lots of funding going about. Just as a few examples, Architectural Heritage Guide. There's a Barclays are doing a COVID relief fund. There's community, the grant for community-led housing. So this could be something of interest. Maybe Reddington Road, I don't know. There's community business. There's a football foundation. There's grants for neighbourhood planning, which is a particular interest for us. I don't know how much this is different to the one we've got, but basically there's the basic funding grant of £10,000, and then there's an additional grant for up to £8,000. Now, if that applies to us, I think we'll be £2,000 better off in the funding, but that's something we can look at. But the other thing I'd like to mention is there's an IWELC topic meeting coming up on the 25th of February, and there's several members have expressed concern about the desirability of holding elections in May, given the current COVID situation. It would be useful to know your council's views on this prior to the meeting. If there is sufficient concern, we will consider how best to express this view collectively. Since this is a national policy, we would probably have to do so through the MP and or NELC. So please can we therefore discuss this within your councils, if we haven't already done so, and let Heather know if you have any views. This meeting will include a presentation by Clive Joynes, the Isle of Wight Council's Electoral Services Manager. It will therefore also provide an opportunity to raise with the Council any concerns you may have about the way in which the elections will be conducted, if they do go ahead. Now, there's a little bit of contention there for me, because I've been told that they're definitely going ahead. So I'll check that with Diana Conyers. But do we have any concerns about this? Because I believe we do. Because, for example,
Dave, we've got it as an agenda item.
Right. So pick that up next. I'll leave that there.
Yeah.
Right.
Can I just inform the council then that I had a conversation with Clive Joint, his name is, with T, 2 weeks ago, and he phoned me with a view to hiring the Masonic Hall. I initially said yes, but having spoke to the trustees, it was felt that it was actually unsuitable. Nobody's been near the place for a year, and there are some remedial work that need doing. But I did put him in touch with another location, which he will obviously make public in the fullness of time. But he assured me that they have a COVID health and safety team that go in, assess the suitability, and make it COVID safe for everybody to come and cast their votes. I was quite reassured by what he had to say. So,
could I just come in there?
Yeah.
I have concerns about that because I've raised questions with the Isle of Wight Council already about sending out the postal ballots with the council tax forms. And I've been told in no uncertain terms, I'm not prepared to do this, and it's too difficult to do. Now, my concern is this. If they can make the Masonic Hall safe, and all these other venues that have got to be around the island in various halls and places, how can they not send out a postal voting form in the post with the council tax forms? I really don't understand that one. And it seems to me like they're excluding some of the electorate.
Dave, I think it's to do with the dates. They're not going to advertise like that you can apply to be a councillor till March the 22nd. Then they have to give you so many days to get your thing. It's probably the dates, I think. I don't know.
I can accept that one, but have we not got a case, particularly in the circumstances of this year with the COVID, have we not got a fair case just to ask the Isle of Wight Council if they'd reconsider, and if they don't send them out with the electoral forms, is there not a case for them just sending them out anyway by post, just to save people going through the procedure of all the registering? And, you know, we're all down there on the electoral roll. I don't really see it as any problem.
Can we just bring Reg in on this, please?
I think the reason that the Isle of Wight Council wouldn't do it, because it isn't done nationally. And they want to keep in line with everybody. But there's no reason why the parish council can't send out by post a postal vote to every household. What would it cost you? It wouldn't cost you a lot, would it? Why don't you do it? If you're concerned about it, do it.
I'd be happy to go and post them, Rich.
You can't fill them all in yourself, though, Dave.
No, there's
a couple for other people.
No, well, that's different. If you post them, there's a danger. That's why during an election we won't be allowed to put leaflets through people's doors.
Yeah.
But the postman is still coming round. So if you want to pay for them to be posted to everybody, if the parish council is that concerned, just pay something and post them all to everybody.
I'd be happy to do that.
Yeah, we've got an agenda item about that later anyway. It should be interesting.
Yeah.
We're still in the report section.
I know. So, thank you. Is that it, Dave, for IWOC?
That's it.
Okay, thank you. Others? Anybody others know?
Thank you.
Dave, finally. Mike, you'd like to say a few things about the effect of the post office.
Sally rate. Trying to say something.
Who?
Sally's got a hand up.
Oh, Sally. Sorry, we're still in the report, Sally. You're muted, Sally.
Yeah. I feel I should just give you a 1 minute update on my lead on the parish bin survey.
Okay.
I've made some progress with the help of Biz and Becky. We've touched base. I've talked to Island Roads with Brian and Island Roads. We know where the rubbish bins are and where the poo bins are. And there's some things that we want to look at further. One is duplication of bins. There are several sites where there are more than one bin. And there are other areas where there's a glaring omission of bins. And so ideally, we would like to come up with a sort of ideal scenario and see if we can relocate some bins to fill in for those areas where there aren't any. We realise that the residents know where the bins are and any changes wouldn't be popular, so we want to minimise, you know, what we do. But just one, for instance, Pier Road. In the Pier Road car park, there are two bins, one either side of the car park, and then right opposite on the other side of the road, outside one of the properties, there is a bin on the sort of street on Pier Road. So there are three that if you stand in the right place, you can see every one. And we also know that we can put dog poop waste into bins, and you get a lot of dog waste off the beach. So I was wondering if we could perhaps do some education on some signage, but move some dog poo bins to the beach if Island Rose can collect them, because that's where the requirement is, where people exit the beach at all these various points and want to get rid of their dog poo.
Yeah.
The other thing I don't really like, but other people might have a view, is there's quite a lot of bins located right next to nice benches. And in the summer, you don't really want to be sat next to an overflowing bin with the stench and the, you know, aesthetics of that. So we've got it underway, and we'd welcome input. So if you've got any views, email any of us, Biz, Becky or me, and we would like to come back to you at the next meeting, really, with a sort of proposal that you might like to sign off. Becky, do you want to add to this?
Well, I was just going to say, were we going to ask whether or not there is any room to increase, I mean, financially, to increase our binnage, as it were? I'm not quite sure
It'll come down to, it, probably, work out what you need. Because there will be some money available for stuff.
Yeah.
We haven't necessarily budgeted for putting extra stuff out next year, but there is contingency built in, so it could be that potentially, if you're talking about hundreds of pounds over the course of the year, that could probably be accommodated. But if it's going to be hundreds of pounds a week, that's probably not going to, you know,
But so if we reorganise, but we still think we need two more bins or something, we might be able to manage that. We haven't got
That's the sort of thing. Yeah, probably that's the sort of thing. So
we can propose what we think is ideal rather than, you know, try and stretch out the number of bins we have now. And
If you came up with a proposal, we got a figure for it. It froze me now. I'm having a couple of technical issues. If you came up with a proposal and said, yeah, we think it's going to be this much money per year, I'd go through a little budget spreadsheet things. I'll tell you if I thought we'd fit in, and, you know, like that.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, we're not trying to do that, but it's nice to know that there is the
bit of wriggle room.
Necessary,
Thank you, Sally. Thank you, Becky.
Hey, Dave's got his hand up. Barry.
Who is?
Dave.
Oh, Dave, sorry, mate.
No, that's all right, no problem.
Keep moving around the screen. I can't find you in the same place twice.
With this, with the bins, I hope you don't mind me saying, I agree 100%. I don't think we want the dog bins too close to the benches, particularly in the summer. But would you mind me just saying, is this more an issue with regards emptying or rather more bins? I mean, would we be better to pay for them to be emptied a bit more regular, or would we be better to invest in additional bins?
Well, I think that's what we're going to decide, isn't it, Sally?
Yeah.
You know, when we finish the review and make some suggestions, it might be that, yes, we need to pay for it to be emptied more often rather than another bin, but, yeah.
I mean, what's the policy for the empty?
Does anyone know at the moment?
The frequency of the emptying? It varies according to location, but this time of year, it's once a week in some places and twice in others, or three times in others, isn't it, Brian?
Yeah, and just to let people know, this time of year, there's probably wriggle room, but last year, when it was obviously very, very bad, I contacted Island Roads about, because obviously the most you can have it is a daily, and we do have dailies for our ones in our hotspots. And they basically, Island Road said, it doesn't matter how much money you want to give them, there's no capacity in summer to do extra collections. So it would have to be looking to private. Yeah, it'd have to be a private company. I'm not sure what happens there, but some...
Yeah, you could put a different route or AMI.
Yeah.
Big bin with a lid and a lock in a key location for a limited period at a cost, if you so wish.
Yeah, down at Seagrove Bay to make that man really, really angry with us again, like we did last year. Yeah, so...
Right, all received and considered.
Thank
you very much. Mike, back to you, please.
Right, I sent an email on the 22nd of January relating to to you all, relating to the post office.
Don't think I'm being rude, I am listening.
That's fine. I mean, what it was, IWOC arranged a good meeting with the MP to do with the concerns of the post offices on the island. They're all now... there's no Crown Post on the island. There's been a lot of closures. We've now seen Newport close. What came up, there was two representatives from Post Office UK from the mainland, Community Action Group, with Bob Seeley, with a question and answer.
The concern is there's a lot of rural post offices that are going to be, that are closed and not having access. And normally the post office is the last stop in a town or village for access for poor people. And they're just looking at the moment, Wootton Post Office, I don't think there is one at the moment. I say Newport, look, the main in the town closed last week, so they're looking at all different ideas. And one part has come up is different ideas is that they're communicating in asking parish councils and town councils to see if they can group together. Some post office might be a core post office and service another area, but as we've seen, CVU was closed for a while. It costs about $18,000 for you to have a license with a post office now on a franchise. And then you have to fit your own fittings inside. But, and of course, with all the prosecutions that are recently, there's a lot of island businesses wouldn't want a post office because some people went to prison. But what there were, an idea that might come up is to have town councils and parish councils budget put or consider it for next year's budget is whether each one or certain ones do make a donation. And i.e. would you therefore, you know, like some of the banks do now, have a van that would go around the communities and help cover the overall cost for that. So I'm just proposing that we give consideration, because normally you've got to put it in a budget in advance, but it ought to be an agenda item for the budget next year. What is the state of the post offices around the island, and should we, you know, be reviewing it within our budget?
Thanks, Mike. I've got that.
Okay, sorry.
Okay. We were all talking about you, Barry, while you were gone.
I know, I could hear all of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for that, Mike.
Can I raise the question, actually, of our local post office while we're talking about post offices? Because I think the post office we've supported, the council supported to get that post office up and running, and it's not acting as a post office, and it's not doing what it should be doing. And I don't know what we can do to encourage, help, support, to actually have the post office which we all rooted for, actually acting as a post office. I don't know whether, I mean, I don't...
Is it at the moment, Beck, it's just 10 to 11, Monday to Saturday, isn't it? It's the only post office hours it's doing. Because during the pandemic, isn't it? Isn't that what's happening?
Well, I don't know that it's got... Has it got specific hours? Are people come into the shop all the time and say, have you got stamps? Can I weigh my parcel? Like, the post office isn't working.
It might be worth checking. If you go to the official Royal Mail site, their status has changed over time from being closed to being open 10 to 11 Monday to Saturday. So I don't know, because I don't use it.
They have a huge problem because they are a pharmacy.
Yeah.
They are dealing with handing over pharmaceuticals to all sorts of people. They have a real problem with handling both postage and money. That's their problem.
I don't think this is their long-term plan, is it? I think they're...
No, but at the moment, if you take a parcel in, they don't know how many people, they are handling pharmaceuticals. They are handing out pharmaceutical packages to people who are potentially hugely vulnerable. So if you take a parcel in that you want to be posted, they don't know how many people have handled it. They have to handle it. That's their problem. It's they have a huge problem with health and safety regarding COVID in running a pharmacy in a post office in a pharmacy. That's their problem.
Well, that's why I was suggesting we talk to them about how we'd be able to support them.
Joe, I don't think
that we actually do have some post office service in the village.
No, we don't.
Which we don't really at the moment.
She is not accepting any packages at all at the post office.
She can't. She can't be a pharmacist. She can't be a pharmacist and accept packages. That's her problem.
But she does give out packages, which would she suggest she wouldn't be able to do.
I don't think she's doing anything at all to help with the being a post office. She got there's too many other things that's happening there. And she definitely doesn't take packages in. I've been there when people would try to deliver a package to her. She won't accept them.
She's also hoping that she's going to be able to give COVID vaccinations, isn't she? She's applied to give COVID vaccinations too.
Yeah.
So that will mean the post office will be closed for even longer, I would imagine.
Well, I don't think it's been used for a while at all, Diane.
I don't think we can expect her to run a professional pharmacy side by side with a post office, quite frankly. No.
Well, then we shouldn't have supported her having it in the first place, I don't think.
We weren't expecting COVID then, though, were we?
No, we didn't know COVID
was coming.
No, it changed the world, apparently.
When it was, when we first asked, she ran it and it was okay. But now the pressure is too much on her as to be a pharmacy and a post office. There's no way that can work now. That has got to be decided. That if we want a post office, we've either got to find somewhere else.
Right.
You get DFL in.
She'll probably reopen it once this is all over, I would imagine, won't she?
That's what she said.
I don't know whether she will.
Yeah, I know she says she will. She did say she will.
Yeah. Grace, do you want to say something?
Well, in Seaview, there was quite a long period when we didn't have a post office at all. And it took a lot of work and a lot of meetings getting the post office to agree to go to the chemist. There's a lot of work went into it. And I think she's done a pretty good job in the space she's got.
Yeah.
Now we've got COVID, which is closing down a lot bigger things than Seaview Pharmacy.
Yeah.
We should give her all the help we can and all the support we can. Just hope when this is all over, we'll all be able to go along and post our letters and parcels like normal. You've got to give the lady a break.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I agree, Reg. I agree. Yeah.
Yes, but in the meantime, you've got to stay away from her. Every time someone goes in, it's a bigger inconvenience to her. I think she has to put a notice on. We cannot accept postage parcels and stuff like that. Because she can't do it on her own. It's too much of a job for her. She'd like to do it.
Could we not approach her regarding the hours? Like someone said earlier, if there was a thing 10 to 11 or something, and just if she puts a sign up stating that so it's clear.
Yeah, but
the chemist isn't home between them hours.
You've got to think of the safety and the money factor that's got to be there. And the same with the pharmacy. There's drugs, there's everything there. It's difficult.
Oh, Roy, it's difficult. But I've got to say, as a pharmacy, and I think as a person, I've got to thought, we use that pharmacy, and I think she's excellent.
I use it all the time.
Service is first class.
Absolutely, and I think we should at the moment let her get on with being a pharmacy, and if you've got a problem with postage, take it to a post office.
Yeah.
I think what we've got to look at in reality is the meeting that they said was the two representative Community Action Isle of Wight were trying to help the different post offices at the present time of the difficulty that they've got. And in essence, sometimes for us to highlight to her, look, you ought to get help so that you're able to do your priority, which is being the chemist at this present time. But as you say, when she took it on, you know, we were grateful for it to happen, but we need to be there to support, to make sure communicating with the Community Action Isle of Wight, you know, may give her the access accordingly.
We didn't have the code.
And perhaps you should tell Community, perhaps you should ask Community Action Isle of Wight, how many other pharmacies are also a post office? I believe this is the only one. Yeah. And this is really unique and different.
Yeah.
Reg, final words, please.
I'm sure that Young is losing money by having that post office closed.
Yeah.
And we should give her all the help we can. I'm being selfish now. I don't care what happens to the rest of the island. We're lucky to have our own post office in a little village the size of ours, and you should be supporting, not doing anything that's going to lessen that support. We should be writing a letter to her saying, or you should be writing a letter congratulating all the good work she's doing. Besides the post office.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay, guys, we're going to move on. Thanks for that, Reg. You're absolutely right. Kerry Fields, trimming of the trees.
Yeah, so this one came about basically for the I don't know if anyone's been up and looked around, but there is some kind of subsidence and land slipping going on around there. And basically, over the last 18 months, I've spoken to a few tree surgeons and Brystone, who are our gardening like contractors, who are really helpful. And they've always ummed and ahed about whether the trees are having an effect on that. But one of the residents who lives there got a builder and surveyor to have a look at it, and they said they believed actually trimming those trees would help in terms of the amount of moisture and stuff there. So it's not to get rid of them, but just potentially trim up to 30% of them. They do need a cut anyway, because they haven't been cut for several years, and just to actually take something in to minimise the amount of water they're sucking out of the ground in the summer. Ironically, the place is full of water at the moment. They wouldn't, I'm sure they're not struggling at all, but it's obviously it's a thing, and it happened. We saw the effect of it last summer when the wall cracked.
Isn't Mike investigating Vexus, the builders, to help out here, because they have some responsibility?
The wall's all good. This is the trees for the affecting the road and the houses behind.
They're going to move up. They're growing.
Yeah. So this is to see whether it would cost basically there's four oak trees involved, and for getting the TPOs and the follow-up meetings and seeing it through and potentially trimming up to 30% of the trees, they need some sort of trimming, it would cost £1,050 plus VAT. Having had to have emergency work done in the past, that seems in keeping with everything I think it's worked out anywhere between 350 and 650 per tree normally. So getting four inside, that obviously there must be some
but
kind
we
of...
But we have to get it done, time. Mike. We have to get it done, Brian, because if we don't, you know, it's going to...
Excellent. So you're proposing we go ahead with it, Roy. Excellent. Councillor Colley's proposing we go ahead with it.
Yeah.
Seconder?
Anyone seconding it?
Seconder, please.
Sally, second.
All those in favour?
That looked pretty unanimous, I think, is it? Yes, yeah. Thank you very much. Oh, well, that will be a great source of comfort to the residents around there. But I've got a feeling it's going to take a few months for that to... paperwork to go through, but we can at least get the ball rolling.
Yeah.
This also is your baby again, Brian.
Yeah, so the Seaview Dinghy Park, yes, this is the annual setting of the permit fees. I sent the members, I sent you all a little spreadsheet, a table out of a spreadsheet I'd made that showed if we keep our rents as they are at the current moment, I think they were raised 2 years ago, that even taking into account the work we're going to have done over our 15-year lease, we will actually, including spending 5% per year on repairs and maintenance going forward, and taking into account the fact that the amount of rent we're going to get charged is going to go up by an average of 2 to 3% every year of it, we should still come out in the black at the end of it if we keep the rents as they are at the moment. Because even last year when I was contacted by several people, very understandably, say because of COVID, they weren't bringing their boats and they weren't going to use the dinghy park, and they didn't. We still, after the audit, we still managed to bring in over £7,000 of rent for the park, whereas pre-price rise, the most we've ever had was £6,500. The year before was a bit better. I've also got some back rents then, but it's actually working out quite well for us at the moment. And at the moment, I've got a couple of people asking to put kayaks in and things like that. So it's just whether you're going to agree to... I've got the current... for an annual pass for the normal dinghy pass is £110 a year. The seasonal pass, which is any... group of 6 months, which is 1st of April to 30th of September or 1st of October to 31st of March, is £80, and a kayak annual pass is £50. So they're the current fees.
Can I propose that we keep them the same?
Thank you.
I'll second that.
Do we review this on an annual basis?
Yes.
Yes.
Good. Because I wouldn't like to think we'd still be charging the same in 15 years' time.
No, but I think this year...
It went up a little bit last year because Brian and I went and did an audit and told everybody we were doing it.
What's going to be good is this year, once we have the new fence and everything put in, the penalty area will be much more effective, because at the moment, if we use the penalty area, it would only take someone to walk around the back of the penalty area where the fence has disappeared, and they would be out of the penalty area. So that will be all reinstated this year, so this will be good. Proposed. So Becky proposed keeping them the same. Sorry, who's anyone second?
Barry.
I'll second it.
Second. And are you having a vote?
All those in favour?
Thank you very much.
Thank you, everyone. And
Kevin looks like he wants to say something.
I'm sorry, Kevin, you keep moving around the screen.
I just want to say, just remind you all, actually, that we were taking £9,000 a year back in 2007-08. I just happened to look at the figures. I was cleaning up my computer, but we were generally making between £8,000 and £9,000. And that increase that you're talking about, Brian, I think sort of confirms the fact that in those previous years where it hasn't been followed up.
Yeah, it really tailed off, getting that, didn't it, by the look of it? Wow.
All that time. Yeah. But it used to be an average of £8,000 to £9,000 a year.
Well, that'd be good if we can get back to that. That would be good. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think what is actually surprising, and Brian and I have had this conversation, that the council actually let us have a lease at all.
Yeah.
Because why aren't they taking that as their only income?
So you can thank Reg for getting that for you.
Oh, well done, Reg. Thank you, Reg. Yeah, that was right.
Okay, well, moving on. Thanks for that, everyone.
Right. It's another one, me, really. This is the iWalk renewal. So basically, it's that time of year to consider whether you'd like to remain members of iWalk for another year. There's going to be a 35% reduction in the fee this year because they appreciate they haven't been doing as many meetings because of COVID and lockdown. They send out regular updates and bulletins, and they have managed to run some virtual training sessions, and I think they're getting better at that, and they seem to be getting the hang of using virtual technology now, which is good. But the renewal fee would be, instead of the 793 that it was, would be 580. So that's up to you as a group to decide whether you'd like to carry on being members or not.
I'd like to propose it because I think since David's been on board, you know, David Adams as our representative, yeah, and I've been to a few of the organised IWAP meetings on Zoom, I think prior to the Hampshire, us back with IWAP, I think we're getting far more out of it. And I think it is benefiting us as a parish, so I fully support continuing membership.
Okay,
absolutely. And I think another important...
I'll second that.
As we move forward with our proposed neighbourhood plan, and there's others around on the island, as that becomes a stronger voice, IWAP may well be the spearhead of our
event. Yeah, that's so helpful.
Yeah, that's right. So anyway, so do we have a vote?
So proposed and seconded.
I'll second that.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, everyone. And questions for the leader of the Isle of Wight Council.
Now, this, we did have some questions shared by Councillor Ward earlier that hopefully I managed to send you all in advance. But obviously, new information has come to light. I think Mike wrote his with the knowledge of what's happening with this site. So it was a chance for you members. Did you want to try and formulate any questions now, or did you want to ruminate on what was going on? And we're going to have another meeting in a week's time, by the look of it, as well.
Could I make a suggestion here?
Yeah.
I think this, I haven't had a chance to digest this properly, what Reg just sent. I've read a bit of it, but not all of it. I think we should talk about this in next week's meeting.
Okay, okay.
Give everyone a chance to have a look at what we've got in front of us, and then we can make a more accurate decision on what we want to do. Because I think what we've put in front of us is important.
So that's what I thought, because that was quite new information you all got today at the last.
I'd also like to say, I think with it, as much as Dave Stewart, and I'm grateful that he's coming down to speak to us, but I don't think it's the whole meeting should be dedicated to questions that were pre-submitted. I think half the meeting should be open to questions off the cuff.
I was going to say that, Dave. No. I'd like to throw questions at him so he hasn't got any time to think about them.
I'd rather do that. I just think that's reasonable. With all what's going on up there, I think that's reasonable. And I'm not saying we'd be unreasonable and don't give him warning of that, but I think it's something in our respect to the residents that they're entitled to ask some questions.
Yeah, don't worry. You're going to have an hour of his time. You're going to have an hour of his time anyway, so there may well be time for other questions, right there. Yeah. So.
Do you propose, Dave, or think that some residents may fire questions at him, or is it going to come through the council?
I think with what's up there, Barry, I think it'd be harsh if we didn't have residents. But if we're happy that we can get the input of the people, you know, we all know who comes up here the most, but I really think that meeting needs to be open to all, because just from the experience, again, not to keep arguing on about it, but the Gidwell Field, it's, I'd hate people to come back at us and say they wasn't invited or they didn't know. I think that's a terrible position to be in.
I must admit, I do have some concerns. Reg?
To be fair to Dave Stewart, you can expect him to answer technical questions off the cuff. If you've got a question that you think you suddenly you know what the question is, if it involves a detailed answer, you should give him the opportunity to get you that detailed answer before the meeting. I'm not against anybody firing questions at him. I think that's a good thing. But if he turns around and says, I'll have to give you a detail, you've got to respect that, because I can imagine what it's going to be like. Cause it, and if local members, if people outside of the parish council want to ask a question, say, Stuart, there's nothing wrong with them asking their fellow, you know, asking their parish councillors to ask it for them. If you get a whole load of people shaping and hollering, because this is going to be very controversial.
This is what my concern is.
I think you've got to take this opportunity to use it wisely so that he's got the chance to give you the proper answers that you deserve. There's nobody asking him questions and he won't be able to answer. Nobody knows everything. I don't. I'm sure Dave Stewart knows. But he can find out for you. So at least give him the chance to find out the answers to the questions.
That's what we agreed at a previous meeting, that we were going to ask the parishioners to formulate a question, put it to the councillors, and the councillors were going to ask the question, which would give Dave Stewart a time to get the technical answers, rather than just turn around and say, I'm sorry, I don't know the answer to that. I'll have
that's a fair way to do it.
Yeah. And I think that is the way I would like to continue, but if other people have got a different view, I propose a vote on it.
I agree, but it's not only open Freddington Road, isn't it? Isn't it a general? It's a general meeting, isn't it?
It's a general meeting.
Yeah, I thought it was.
The beginning of it will be about Eddington Road, but yeah, like, okay. Depends how long you end up talking to him about that for. Yeah.
That's fine. Okay. That's fine.
And how do the general public approach a councillor to put their question?
It's all on the website, Joe.
Okay.
You go there, you can think of a question, put it to a councillor, and the councillor will ask that question on your behalf.
Right, Barry, I'm beginning to think you're not letting me on. Do you know, it goes very deep, because if you consider 2 years ago, we as the public were all asked questions about the core strategy. That was 2 years ago. Nothing's happened, and that deals with all that we're talking about tonight. I think they buried it. They didn't like the response, and they're just going their own way. So I think the public really do want to know the answers. We were asked, we responded, and we've had nothing back.
Well, if we don't ask him, I agree with you, Philip, if we don't ask him that question in advance, though, he's not going to know the answer on the night, is he? Or he's going to prepare it.
Can I just pop in there? Because I've heard a bit about the call strategy, and so have Dave, and so have Brian. We went to a briefing last week by the Ollie Balter, he coordinated it with some of the officers from the planning department, and they are writing, the Isle of Wight Council are writing their planning document as we speak, but it's such a big piece of work that it isn't going to be ready and submitted till about 2023, I guess.
That's right, yep.
That's where we are. Joe, you're on mute.
Sorry.
Sally, if I may interject, they were doing this when we submitted our supplementary planning document, which is nearly 3 years ago. So this has already been going on for 3 years. And if they're saying that they're not going to have anything ready till 2023, that is ridiculous. That is ridiculous.
I agree, Joe. And I understand fully where Barry's coming from, I think, with regards to technical questions. And I think that's a very fair point. But at the same time, I find it unacceptable, really, when they piped up last week that this isn't going to be ready till 2023. And I've actually had suggestions put to me, Sally, that we delay our neighbourhood plan till 2023. Well, that doesn't seem fair to me with all what's going on in the parish. And I think if we're not careful, come 2023, we'll be concreted over, or the land will be gone between here and the Dubber. And, you know, I just feel we have real problems with this. And just as a point of trying to hold them to some form of account, Barry, I think we need to let the public ask a couple of questions. I agree with you, and I do agree with you 100%. And I shall particularly speak to Philip, because I know Philip has opinions on it. And I would like to get a question off Philip, give him some prior notification, because I know Philip's going to hit him with something a bit special, and I wouldn't like to be in that position. And I think it's only fair we give him time to consider it. With all what's going on, I just don't feel, I'm not comfortable locking out the public totally. Although I can see what you're saying, and I can also see what Reggie's saying. But I think it's fair to let the public have a little bit of a voice.
Okay. Would any of the other councillors like to have a say on that, Mike?
Yeah, I mean, that was the reason I let you all know with the email today, because of what I looked at is to make sure I've got a problem in both ways, the public and also, you know, the councillors. What I wanted to make sure that if we've got them there, the three of them in the different categories, that's why I did the three questions, one for the actual officer for highlighting concerns of the procedures of the Isle of Wight Council, the one to the leader, but then the one, the cabinet member in charge of housing and planning, and that's why those three emails have got the, so that they've got it in advance, so that when they do come to our parish, that they know our continued concerns, that they haven't come up with what they originally planned at the beginning. You know, they say they were going to consult with the parish, and they aren't. So that's why that question that I put that will go in, hopefully they will have the answers, and then from that, additional to that, the public can have the plan. What we don't want to do is, as you say, all of it, they just go back and say, we'll come back to you. They'll have no excuse. They'll be able to come with it.
Sorry, Mike, can I just point out that, you know, it's obvious I don't agree with you about letting the public in. And the reason I say that is because I don't want it to become a free-for-all. But I would also further point out that any one of us now can fire a question at Dave Stewart. You don't have to wait till he's on in front of you. Just fire a question at him. He's there. He sends a message.
Well, that's why, I mean, that's what I'm saying. We had it on the agenda, and that's why I made sure that, you know, I've given you some questions so you had the chance to digest it for this meeting to see how to put something in place.
Okay, well, look, there's obviously a difference of opinion. Would anybody like to have a vote?
I think Kevin wants to say something, Barry.
Okay. I saw him earlier, sorry.
That's okay. I'm just talking as a member of the public again. I think you've been given a great opportunity, or we have as a parish, to have the three over for these questions, or for this session rather. And I think the most critical thing is that you get the answers. There's no point in inviting people like that along, right, unless at the end of the day you're going to get the answers to the questions that you want. You've given the public the opportunity to talk to councillors, to suggest questions, etc. And I think that's great. So it is open to us in advance to give you that information so that you can put those in with the questions or not that you decide to put to him. But there is no way, as we have seen, you know, from just ordinary parish council meetings, that you can be in control yourself.
Yeah. No.
Of that situation, and then guarantee that you'll get your questions, or the questions that the parish want answered, because it's just very difficult, as we all know. So I, as a member of the public, back your idea, which you've already given to us anyway, of saying that if we want to ask any questions, to give them to either Brian or an individual parish councillor to put into the mix of what you're going to decide, and then that way at least you know you'll get those answers, and then if there's space at the end of it, you can decide how you handle that space. But the most important thing is to have a good solid list of questions, because then that gives them time, as you've all said, to actually make sure that they've got the answers to them.
I agree with Kevin there. Otherwise, it'll be a free-for-all.
Absolutely.
Why are they? Why? 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 Why?
Hey,
why?
I'm
why?
Talking
why?
Now.
Why? 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 Why?
quiet or you're in the waiting room.
Barry, I've muted him because he's talking over you and you're the chair.
I'm not having it.
Yeah.
We agreed as a meeting some while ago, a couple of months ago, that we were going to formulate questions proposed by the parishioners. And that was how it was going to be. And we all agreed that unanimously.
Yeah.
There's some change come over now. Now, I think what Kevin said was entirely valid. We could manage the space at the end of the meeting.
Barry, could I just say a few words?
Please, Dave.
Yes. No, I agree with that, and I'm happy with that. Could I just propose that we're having the extraordinary meeting next week.
Yeah.
Could I just propose that we get our questions formulated and on the table for that meeting so that we all know where we stand? I've got a few contacts up Eddington Road, which I will put the feelers out and let them know what's going on, and I feel we can get a fair representation of the feedback.
Yeah.
So I feel at this stage, that's probably the best we can do.
Yeah. I'm sorry about getting a bit cross with Philip, but that is just an exact example of what I don't want to happen.
Yeah.
Anyway,
okay. We don't want to be the next Handforth, do we? Famous for the wrong reasons.
Yeah, that's right.
Who's going to be Mrs. Weaver?
Okay,
so
are we all done on that?
Yeah.
Okay, so now the next item on the agenda is May 21 elections. That's you, Dave.
Is it?
Yeah, Dave, you started talking about it in your iWalk report in the end instead.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Yeah.
No, so, well, in all honesty, we've discussed it, really. It's just, I feel I'd like to push for the parish. I'd like to ask the Isle of Wight Council through the parish if we could not have the Isle of Wight Council send out these postal application forms rather than the parish being left with a bill for that. I just feel there's questions here with regards getting people to vote. And I feel with this COVID, I don't think everyone will be putting in for the postal application form. It always worries me with voting. I really believe people need it to be as easy as possible. And I feel possibly this year more than ever, just because of what's going on with the COVID, I feel I'm not sure going down the road of the Masonic Hall or the Village Hall or whatever it is the best answer to this. And I just feel the Isle of Wight Council are being a little bit unreasonable, saying they won't send out these ballots.
But is it your proposal, a proposal for me to write to the Isle of Wight Council and asking them if they would send ballots to...
On behalf of the parish, I think that would be nice. And what I'll do at the next iWalk meeting, I'll let them know what we're doing and see if there's any support with it across the parishes. If anyone's got any objection to that, I think Diana wants to say something. If anyone's not in agreement on that, please give us an opinion.
I was just going to say that we might not have an election because if there's more than, there might not be in more people that apply than are on the council because we haven't had elections for a few years. We've just automatically got on. So we would only do that, obviously, if it went to election, wouldn't we?
Well, I've been told they're going for the election, Diana.
No, there will be an election because there's going to be
one.
No, no, it's a joint election where Councillor Barry, I don't know what his plans are, could become the ward councillor again, or someone else might stand to be that as well as the parish council. So it's both. It's not just the parish council.
No, I know that. But what I'm saying is the Isle of Wight council election is separate from the parish council. If there's not enough parish councillors to fill the places, they don't get an election for the parish councillor. The parish will automatically be... will already be in. It'll just be Reg that we'll need to vote for.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. You see what I mean?
People not physically going.
Same thing applies.
You have to physically go, won't you?
Yeah.
It's the same day. It's the same.
Oh yeah, I know it's the same day. Yeah. I mean, I've got a postal vote anyway. I've had a postal vote for years. I think it's sensible.
Reg.
Yeah. Thank you for that, Diane. For that, the only one in that book. But no, it's already been discussed. The question was asked, that there was a motion put to the full council at the last full council meeting for everybody's a voting form to go with everybody's council tax demand. And the administration turned it down. They wouldn't have it. So the only way it's going to happen, as far as I can see, is if parish councils, perhaps through IWALC or whatever, do it themselves. Because I think it's going to be a lot of people won't turn out, and it's going to be the strangest of elections. It might get held back again. I remember I can't remember which one it was, but they didn't have it till June. They held it back for a month for some reason, didn't they? Do you remember that time? It was when Tony Blair was in. There was something went wrong and they held the elections.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
So that could happen, but personally, I think voting should be compulsory. And if you don't get vote, if you don't vote, you get fined £100. It'd be the answer to it, and everybody would have a postal vote, wouldn't they?
Yeah, I agree, Reg.
Well, I think there'd be a lot of spoiled papers.
Well, that's your prerogative, isn't it? At least if these people get out and vote, wouldn't they? Which makes me cross when they don't.
But what I would say is, Councillor Adams was proposing that we ask the Isle of Wight Council to send ballots to all parishioners, even if it's not going to go anywhere. He had proposed that. Was anyone going to second that, or are you going to?
I'll second that.
Is that a legal way forward? Are we allowed to do that?
Well, we can ask them the question, can't we?
Yeah.
Right, so we've got Becky.
So you've asked and you second it. Are we going to have a vote, or was Councillor Hardy asking a question? Sorry,
I was just going to say, based on what Reg said, maybe we'd be better off looking to iWalk to try and help us out with this. And as you say, Dave, there may be other parishes.
iWalk are happy to help us with that. I'm just trying to get an opinion tonight across our councillors, whether we've got a majority or a minority, whether we support it or don't support it. And it's something to take to the meeting on the 25th of February. That's why I'm proposing it now. It's just to put our view across. I don't think the Isle of Wight Council will do it. I've got no problem with what Red said. If we have to do it as a parish, I'm happy for us to do that as a parish. But I just think we need to try and encourage people to vote, because the turnout's going to be bad, and I think we need to vote. And, you know, I always remember something Vilma said, and it's always stuck in my mind. There's just so much apathy out there, and I find, particularly since, not so much with what we do in our parish, because it's across the Isle of Wight, from what I've learned from the iWalk meetings and various things, there's a lot of people out there that are trying to do a lot of good. And I just feel, I'm not slating the Isle of Wight Council, because they're not all bad. Some are good, some are bad. But I believe the people inherently within the parishes, all the volunteers, I believe they're trying to do some good in their own little way. And that's my belief. And I feel sometimes, for all what the Isle of Wight tell us, the Isle of Wight Council in particular, about working with the parishes and they want more interaction and more contact with people on the ground, I don't feel they're being entirely truthful with that comment. I just don't think they're being entirely truthful. And getting back to Eddington Road at this precise moment in time, if you look at what's gone on with that Eddington Road, it's gone from the Vectis Road thing to various schemes, Raniera coming down and speaking to us. Then all of a sudden, you see an advert and there's some news. It's up for sale. We're planning permission for 70 houses. Now, that, to me, is predeterminant. Where's the...
Dave, I don't want to interrupt you, mate.
No, Barry, sorry. I just want to finish that. I just feel it's a valid point. The point I'm trying to make is that application's come out with no further proper consultation with a parish. And, yeah, I know I'm off-piste, but it just gets back to our interaction with the public on the ground. And I just feel that's important.
Yeah, no, that's fair, Dave. That is a good point. Right, okay, so what are we going to do? We're going to ask the council.
You had proposed in a second to write to the Isle of Wight Council to ask them if they would supply ballots to all the parishioners. So if you voted in favour, I could go through and ask them.
And it's just letting them know, Barry, our faults as a parish. That was all, and I will take it forward with iWalk at the next meeting.
Right, so all those in favour of that?
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you, everyone.
Right. It looks like it's carried. Cause I think that's one.
Yeah.
Carried.
Okay, so...
thank you.
I'm sorry we've kept Vilma waiting for so long, because this is a major consideration to her as being a representative of the residents in Pier Road. You may be aware that there's been some granted tree works that have been taking place along Pier Road, and they're all perfectly legal. They've all been granted. But it's the pace that they've rather been carried on. I think, I'm not exactly sure, somebody will tell me, that when you're allowed to take on some tree works, you're only allowed to do a percentage of it within a certain time. You mustn't do the whole thing, 100% of whatever you've been granted. And the position now is that there have been very many trees taken down on Pier Road, adjacent to the area where those green garages are. Anybody aware of that part? And it's possible that it is made, if you like, the slope of the donkey field unstable. And that we need to speak to the council to find out if they'd rather, if the people that have got this permission have rather moved ahead quicker than they should have done. And granted, they have planted dozens and dozens of trees, hardwood trees as replacement. But nevertheless, it is a concern to the residents in Pier Road. I mean, the whole hill could just slide down and take all the houses away. I mean,
yeah.
You know, with all the trees missing, I mean, they soak up an enormous lot of water.
Yeah.
Anyway, so, Filmer, great.
Yeah, the main problem is that the trees have gone. It is too late. We can't really do anything. They have planted a lot of tiny little trees, which will take many, many years to grow. We have had a report done on the land. It will be destabilised as a result of the tree felling. But what I wanted to do, more than that, they got their permission, and what they have done around the garages, the owners of the lane, is to do 10 years forestry management in about 10 days. The work should have been done, as you just said, Barry, over a period of time, and it hasn't been. It's been done all in one fell swoop, and they are proposing to cut even more trees down there. What I wanted to ask the parish council was whether we should be looking at trees in the parish in general. Now, it's not just the trees in Pier Road that have been decimated, but today there's a beautiful oak has been cut down in Priory Drive. It's about the same size as the tree that has been cut down in the donkey field, about which Eton College are being taken to task. But I just wonder if we could have if you could discuss a parish policy whereby trees, I think people used to have to get permission to cut trees down, but it doesn't seem to be quite so strict as it used to be. I think someone put on Seaview or Nettlestone Neighbours the other day that a very lovely pine tree up in Solent View Road has been felled. And it just seems to me that with all the new people that are moving in here, there and everywhere, that they don't like a tree in their garden and it just gets lopped. And what I was going to suggest was that maybe we looked at the TPOs on the trees. I know Becky has a map, but it's not up to the minute. It hasn't got the latest TPOs on. And there are some beautiful trees in the parish up Gully Road. I walked up there today. There's some beautiful old oaks. I don't think they have TPOs on them. And I'm just wondering whether the parish council could get a little group of volunteers who would happily take on their area, and just to make sure that the beautiful trees that we do have are protected as much as the TPO will protect. We know that if people want to really cut it down or the council decide it has to go, they can override a TPO. But I just wondered if you thought it was an idea for the parish, a part of our trying to keep ourselves green, trying to make ourselves look lovely, as a thought.
Yeah, I think it's a very good idea, Vilma. What do other people think?
Yeah, I think it's an excellent idea.
You could create a tree working group. And
A tree working group, Barry. Right, I thought that was probably what you'd suggest.
Yeah.
And you might say, Bill, would you like to head the tree working group as I go around with my tape measure?
I'm going to my mace, Wilma.
Measuring the trees. So, but anyway, if you think that's an idea, I think it's something we should talk about a bit more detail.
Absolutely, yeah. Thank you.
Right. I mean, it's the sort of thing, if you wanted to, a working group isn't that formal anyway, but it's good that we could put it on the next agenda to talk about, you know, inviting people who have got an interest in it to join it.
Yes, I mean, everybody just took on their immediate neighbourhood, their immediate area. We could all be looking out for trees and just making sure that there's a new tree expert come onto the council, I believe. You mentioned him earlier.
Yeah, Tony Gillingham. Yeah, he seems like a really nice guy.
Once he's got himself established, maybe we could have a meeting with him and talk to him about the issues.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. Reg, you've got something to say.
Yeah, there used to be a councillor who's passed away now called Alan Hersey.
Oh, yeah.
He had a plan, and he marked, as he was a parish councillor, a long-time parish councillor, he marked every tree in the parish, named it, numbered it, and what didn't have TPOs, he put TPOs on every single tree in the parish. Now, that record must be somewhere within the parish documents. Perhaps you should look it up.
Can we dig it out somewhere?
Well, just to let everybody know that...
You can find all of those trees. The problem is from after about 2010, the records, you get about 4 or 5 a year. Prior to that, it's a bit tedious, but they are all logged on the council TPO search.
And if people want it, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll make a note of it so anyone can look. Jerry Willis sent me this excellent link. There's an online interactive map that they produce, and you can look at them at any time. You can knock yourself out. It's really interesting. Yeah. It's got every single TPO on it. So
that's what I sent to Vilma.
Yes, it's not current, Brian. There's some trees that have had TPOs put on them more recently, and they're not on the map. So we need an update somehow.
Mm.
Anyway, you're going to put it on the agenda for next month, and we can talk about a working group then.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea.
But he went round and put all these little numbers on, nailed them on the trees. He really, really went into it. That was the days when the parish council used to walk the Barnsley Trail once a year and look at everything and mark everything.
Is there something we can do too to make sure that people... that private individuals know that they can't just chop down a tree in their garden, but it's,
Well, I think, Becky, that, as I said to Vilma the other evening, we're living in a world of impunity. People just take a chance on getting caught or not getting caught.
I think it boils down, I think you're 100% right, Barry, and I think it gets back to, we've had this chat many times before over various things, it all comes down to enforcement.
Yeah,
if there's no enforcement, people do what they like.
Okay, guys, thank you. Right, the footpath at the bottom of Stone View Road, which some of you will know, it leads round to the footbridge that goes over the gully where we had a bit of fun with Island Roads there last summer. It is in a terrible, shoddy state. It is in a very, very bad state. Not just muddy, you'd expect a bit of mud because we've had a lot of rain. But the footpath is... In some places, the foot deep, there's a dip in it of a foot that you could walk into and fall over. I mean, I did see someone fall over in it last year. But I think we need to write to Island Roads and get it sorted out.
I think, actually, Barry, it might be a good call to write Rights of Way.
Rights of Way, yeah, I meant that, yeah. It's just that, Island Roads will probably be the executive that comes and digs it up.
Yeah, so you'd like me to write to Rights of Way to make them aware of it and see what happens? Yeah.
Well, with everybody else's acquiessance on that, of course, because it really does.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, yeah. We've got a proposal there to write to Rights of Way to make them aware. Anyone seconding that?
Yeah, I will.
Oh, thanks.
Got 3 seconders, that's good.
Yeah, well, that looks good for the vote. Right, yeah, that's carried. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you. And Brian, correspondence.
Yes. I haven't got anything. You've literally seen everything I've seen. There were things like... actually, one thing that's pretty worth noticing is actually... Joe's still on here. Back on the 2nd of February, Joe made us aware that some people are going to be looking to change the conditions or living in the... of to try and live all year round in the beach, in one of the beach huts. So that was something I sent around to you, and we'll watch that with interest. I've got the communication from the lady who told me about her dog, which I've already talked about in my report. Another thing I copied to you all back in the 21st of January, we got an email from Co-op at last that basically just said, yes, all the things that Councillor Barry's told us before at the meetings, actually, it just confirmed what he said, that they are talking to QuestMap about potentially submitting a planning application to develop the roadside at some point. And still to date, that planning application has not shown up on the website. They've not put an application in. And I've got another piece of correspondence which I didn't share with you all yet, which was just, it was actually from a charity called Suicide Prevention Isle of Wight, and it's a very nice letter that turned up the other day, talking about the work they do and how they've already, like, on average, they monitor parts around the island where people could consider ending their lives, and in the last 2 years they say they'd managed to intervene with 55 people in 2019 and then 54 people last year, but already this year they'd already intervened with up to 20 people because it's people are really suffering. And what it was, they were just telling me about what I did. So what I did was I applied to them saying, you know, we would probably look I said the new members might look favourably on a grant, and I sent them all the paperwork and things to fill in, but told them that you know, they don't have to go to town, but I haven't heard back from them yet. But that's just to let you know that we might hear from them again for a grant to help them, because they're all volunteers and they go around trying to stop people from making some decisions in life. So that was the only one I hadn't read to you. It's a difficult subject, and let's hope we, if people think it's a good idea, we hear from them again asking for a grant, but they've made us aware of what they do there. That's the end of correspondence. Thank you. Finances, Barry, you okay?
Yeah.
You've seen the receipts and payments I sent around earlier. Fortunately, receipts only 96p this month, but you know, I think it's the worst month we've ever had. But there were no. Nothing else due, to be fair, so that's fair enough. And but just in contrast to £10,000 worth of expenditure, but that's the way it goes sometimes. Any questions about those from anyone? Interest? And then the monthly summary. There were no grant applications this month, but we may hear from that charity perhaps if they get back to us. The monthly summary. Any questions about the monthly summary of finances?
No.
Okay, thank you. Thanks, Barry.
Thank you very much. Okay, anybody got anything going on around the parish that they want to let us know about? I'll do it in the order I'm looking at on the screen. So, Big Dave?
Nothing.
Mike?
No, thank you.
Sally?
Oh, you're muted, Sally.
Yeah, sorry. The Eco Island meeting last week was quite revealing, I thought, and I think that I might do a one paragraph thing and email it round to you, because there's some pertinent points, really, I think. We've been invited, I don't know if everyone saw, to put forward any brownfield sites we think that the council might like to consider for infill development or whatever, so I think we should be proactive if there are obvious decent sites. We might want to be mute, I don't know, but anyway. Can I just tell you about a food bank initiative that just seemed to start today? I'm a member of St Peter's Church, and we used to have a food bank, but because of COVID it stopped. But two enterprising ladies who use social media a lot have offered their sort of front gardens, if you like. So if anyone wants to leave any goodies for the food bank, the island food bank, they're being collected at Penmorfa, which is that property at the end of Blewett Avenue, at the end by Salt and Slip, just inside the gate there, or Orange Tree in Madeira Road. And if I give Brian the details, perhaps he could put it...
Yeah, thank you. So I'll put those on the website. Thank you very much.
Sure. And can I just say, in terms of Pier Road, because of the development down there, there's a lot of heavy trucks having to use the pavement going up and down Pier Road, which is going to damage that pavement. Mm. Now, there is a little parking bay down there, and I was wondering if it would be in our interest in the moment to suspend the parking there just to give them a bit more room.
What do people
do to get through?
Yes.
Yeah. Good idea.
I think that'd be the Isle of Wight Council, wouldn't it? Highways.
It would. If you, yeah, you can ask. You can ask. I mean, if you like, I can ask them the question if they'd consider doing that. Then, if it's some, if you wanted to officially make it a proper formal request, we could stick it on the next agenda. So,
yeah,
if you'd like me to ask the question of them, if that's something they could do, you know,
ask the question. Nothing to lose.
Yeah.
If we don't get any progress, we put it on the agenda.
Was yeah. that you, Sally?
Yeah. That's it. Thank you.
Okay, Reg, did you want to make a comment?
I was just going to say, if Sally likes to show me what it is, I can meet her down there and show me, and then I'll get on to Highways for her.
Oh, lovely.
Brilliant.
Thank you, Reg.
I won't bother doing that then. That's great.
Say 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, the Pier Road.
Oh, it's a date.
Well, let's have a look.
Reg will be carrying a copy of the Times. Sally will have a red rose in her lapel.
And a carnation,
yeah.
I'll have my white jacket on.
Yeah. Covered in mud from all the trucks, yeah.
Anything
to add
for tonight?
Yeah, I could do that.
Let's see you then at 10 o'clock tomorrow.
Yeah, lovely.
You're muted, Becky.
No, I'm not. Sorry, is it me?
Yeah, you weren't talking. Did you have anything for the...
Sorry, I didn't hear you call me. I was only going to say, and this is a question perhaps, again, of what Dave was talking about was enforcement, but there was, in West Street, there was a house, they did a huge amount of renovations, and I'm sure they had to put the stone wall back, because it's part of the...
Conservation
area, and the stone wall hasn't gone back. And should we be reporting that to someone?
I'd say.
But did we allow it for parking?
Well, I don't remember that. I mean, that
I
is what
it's thing to check. We need to check the application.
That is what that is what they have done. But I don't remember that. I was sure that the wall had to go back. But
if it's got to go back, it should go back. Report it.
Yes, so what would we do about that? Should I do something about it?
You can if you want, Becky. You can, yeah.
Get on to plan.
Do I have to find the original application or what?
Well, just say you're concerned and you think, give them the address and all the rest of it.
I would be quite grateful if somebody else could do it, since I know the people.
Oh, right. What are their jobs?
Well, I'm happy. Becky, if you send me the details, I'm happy to do it.
Okay.
Whenever I've made inquiries like that, because I've done it with several places down Seaview, they've been very good.
Okay, so I'll send you the details, can I, Dave? Is that all right?
Well, I'll be honest, I don't know where you're talking about.
Yeah, I'll show you when.
I'll get
it anyway. It was the same with the old bank. It's the same thing there.
It was, yeah, you're quite right, Reg, yeah. Di, have you got anything?
Yeah, just... Brian, you know that opposite me where the Barnsley Trail, those barriers are still down. Someone asked me what's happening with them.
Oh, okay. Barriers down there. I will ask Rights of Way what's going on.
Yeah, they haven't been put back up, because they've been down for ages now.
Yeah, fair. I'll ask. Thanks for letting me know. I haven't been down there for a long time, actually. I used to walk down there, but because of COVID, I've been cycling on the road.
Well, I can see my bedroom window.
Boy.
That's all, thanks.
I'm fine, Barry, thank you.
Okay. Right, well, on that note then, thank you all for coming, and at 21:15, I declare the meeting closed.
Thank you very
Barry.
Much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Good night, everybody.
Bye. Bye.